Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and I hope you're doing well. This has not been an easy time, that is certainly for sure. I know that we have struggled through the first few weeks of this coronavirus, which started somewhere in another part of the world, and now it has come to the United States and pretty well shut us down. And shut down sports, that's for sure. We thought right now we would be at the start of the Major League Baseball season and the Minor League Baseball season, and we thought that maybe we'd be finishing up some games in the NBA and the NHL, and well, as you well know, nothing is happening right now. So one of the things that we're doing here at Face to Face is, like you most likely, self-quarantining and bringing you past interviews that we have had, because we've got a lot of them. We've got about 500 interviews going back to 1992, and hopefully this is a good time for you, as you can sit back maybe with a cup of coffee, or you're still allowed to get out and walk, as far as I understand, maybe walk the dog or whatever. Put on your headphones and listen to a past interview that we've had with an athlete. Now, we've got with us today, actually, the interview that we've got today is with a guy who right now is in limbo. He's not assigned to any team. His name is Scooter Gennett, and he's got a very interesting story. He came up with the Milwaukee Brewers. In 2012, he was in the All-Star Futures game, which is a game they play right before the Major League All-Star game, and they kind of showcase some of the players that you're going to be hearing about in the future, and he was in that, and did pretty well. Came up in 2013, had kind of a rough year with the Milwaukee Brewers, got actually sent down, and then came back and made his mark in the majors. Now, he was traded to the Cincinnati Reds, and while he was with the Cincinnati Reds, he had a couple of good years. 2018 was really a good year, and in 2017 and 2018 were pretty good years. 2017 was an excellent year. In fact, on June the 6th, 2017, he did something that only 16 other players in Major League history had ever done, and that was he hit four home runs in one game. Four home runs in one game. And right not too long after that is when we had a chance to interview him, which would have been, 3 years ago? That's when we had a chance to talk to him about it. And he's kind of an interesting guy. He's not real tall. He's probably about 5'10", 5'11". Not real stockily built, but he's got really fast wrists. He's got really good bat speed, and that's what they need. In fact, in this day of analytics, they talk about a lot of things, including bat angle and all that, and he's got a quick bat, and he's got 87 home runs in his career. And in 2019, he was traded last year after starting the year with the Cincinnati Reds, and having he was injured for a lot of that year, and then came back and played a few games, but then he got traded to the San Francisco Giants. And with the San Francisco Giants, he just never quite found his range, never quite found his mark last year. So this year, he was a free agent, and he would have probably signed with somebody, but of course, as you well know, Major League Baseball is shut down and shut down before the season started. So like a lot of other free agents, he's in limbo. There were talks that he would end up with about maybe six different clubs that were interested in him, including the Chicago Cubs, the New York Mets. The Brewers were interested in maybe taking another look at him. And just nothing happened, of course, because baseball right now is, for the most part, pretty well shut down. I don't even think there's any scouting going on or anything. It's just really nothing until we can get through this. But we thought that you'd like to hear the interview that we did with Scooter back in 2017. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the time that we had with Scooter Gennett, formerly of the Milwaukee Brewers, Cincinnati Reds, and San Francisco Giants. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest today is Scooter Jeanette, the second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. Really a privilege. Scooter, I just found out a few minutes ago that I've caught you on a really good day. I think, are you getting the Clemente Award today? Is that something that I know about?
The news came out that I got nominated for it today. Tomorrow, I think they're going to do a little presentation of it before the game.
Tell me a little bit about what that means, what award that is.
Well, it means a lot. I think last year, Michael Lorenzen got nominated for our team, and for me, I think any like-minded Christian guy would always say that there's someone else more deserving, and he would be my choice on that, but this year, I got nominated, and it means a lot, man, to know that all the stuff that we do behind the scenes that might not be on camera or in front of the media and stuff like that gets recognized. It's pretty cool. That's obviously not why we do it, but to be nominated for that award is nice. You know, it kind of just lets you know that people have recognized what you do and the effort that you put into the community and trying to put some smile on some unhappy faces, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Let's talk about you a little bit. I know you've been asked this question a million times, but how'd you get the name Scooter? I understand from a video that I saw that you kind of gave yourself the nickname.
I did. I was a crazy kid. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I was in the car one day with my mom, and I had this habit of like taking off my seatbelt in the back seat. I graduated from the car seat, so I was just in the back on my own, and she would buckle me up and she'd start driving, and I would be like, "Hey, Mom," and I would unclick it, and she would have to stop and pull over on the side of the road, put it back on, and I did that a number of times in a row, and she got a little upset, so she got sick and tired of it, so she drove into the police station and wanted to kind of scare me into wearing my seatbelt. And all I remember is just a badge and a police officer. He was huge, obviously. I was tiny. And just looking up and seeing a badge and being intimidated. And he asked me what my name was. And I said, Scooter Jeanette. And the reason I said Scooter, that was my favorite character on The Muppet Babies.
Oh.
And my mom had no clue about it. So she's like, tell him your real name. He's like, yeah, what's your real name, buddy? And I said, Scooter. And I don't remember much after that other than I didn't answer to Ryan for like a year and a half. So to get me to do anything, they had to call me Scooter, and it kind of just stuck.
I mean, you're having a big year. Prior to this year, you hit 35 home runs. This year, you have just had a tremendous year. You got 23 home runs right now and still more to go, including four homers in one game. Tell me a little bit, what's been the difference?
I think just cleaning up some of the stuff. Just my lifestyle, just getting healthier, getting just growing my faith, growing in my faith, and really just trying to tap into the abilities I've been blessed with from God, and really that's it. I mean, the off season I started working out with my cousin who's a Christian, and being able to have a lot of time to work on those little muscles and the kind of fine-tune things rather than waking up real early and going with a big group of guys to work out. It just wasn't for me. And I had the time this offseason to really focus on my body and getting it in the best shape possible to really tap into my abilities that I've been blessed with. And then once the season started, allowing those abilities to happen and not trying to do too much and just trusting that I'm good enough, that I'm strong enough to be able to perform on a daily basis. And I mean, every day I say a prayer before the game to just play the game the right way, play it in the way that it can bring honor to Jesus Christ and his name. And it's not for like a ritual thing or a superstition thing. It's because that's all I'm trying to do is just play the game the right way and the results will end up happening.
Let's talk about that four homer night early June against the Cardinals. You became the first person to hit four homers, five hits, 10 RBIs in a game. Were you just kind of in a zone? And after the first homer or so, what was going through your mind?
Well, it was against the Cardinals, and the first one was a grand slam, so that put us up by five runs. So, I mean, that was a big moment in the game, not only for our team, but, you know, for myself to be able to hit a grand slam is always awesome. And my next at bat, I just kind of went up with the same approach and ended up hitting another one. And then after the third home run, I mean, even Joey Votto was saying how I hit it down the left field line, and when a lefty hits a ball down the left field line, usually it curves foul, you know, it keeps going left, and it just stayed dead straight and went like eight rows up. And when I hit that ball, I was like, wow, I've never hit a ball like that before in my life. And Joey Votto, a guy like that, to be amazed at something like that and to be like, that's like not supposed to happen, I think was just an example of you know, God was really working that night. And for whatever reason, ended up hitting the next one out. And I think it was just one of those moments, like D. Gordon last year hitting that home run after Jose passed away, hitting a ball, he's never hit a ball on the upper deck, to do it the first at bat back. I think God shows himself at least once a year in a baseball game to show everybody in the stands, like, hey, this isn't supposed to happen, but it happened for a reason. And whatever that is, I might not ever figure that out. But I think people watching me hit four home runs, a guy like me that only, like you said, had 30-something home runs coming into the season, it probably blew a lot of people's minds. And they're like, why is this happening? Why is this guy doing it? And every time before I touch home plate, I always thank God and just give him a little point. And I do some other stuff, too. I draw a nice big fish on the on-deck circle. I
saw that.
And, I mean, I think that, like, true baseball fans that really watch all those little things might put those pieces together. And maybe that's why I had that night.
Big change for you this year. You were signed by the Brewers in 2009, and you come over here, the Brewers put you on waivers, and you come over here and you're having a tremendous year. Just how do you think about that as far as your faith goes, and just as far as the way God works in your life?
Well, I mean, after I went to PAO in 2013, got baptized, I began to learn that you know, no matter what happens, it's happening for a reason, and it's because God's allowing it to happen, and He wants it to happen. Whether that's something hard, a trial to persevere, and or it's something good that happens, like the four home run night. I truly believe that everything happens for a reason, so I was able to accept that kind of with open arms and embrace my role as coming over as a utility bench player at the start. And I just embraced it and tried to do the best I could and realized that, you know, worst case scenario, things don't work out and, you know, I have to go back home and have a normal job like everybody else. But I'm in my faith. I know that at the end, you know, everything's going to be fine. So with knowing that and embracing the opportunity I had with the Reds, for me was a win-win situation. So there was no pressure, there was no worries, so I think that was really the first time in my career that I've had that challenge, and to have the faith that I do have and be able to embrace it the way I did, I think is really, that was my main goal, and I think it ended up working out pretty good.
Our guest is Scooter Genetti. He's the second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Scooter Genetti. And Scooter, let's talk about your life a little bit. You're actually from Cincinnati, and your parents made a tremendous move to help you out when you were about 10 years old. Tell us about that.
Yeah, growing up in Cincinnati, I was actually 30 minutes north of here in Lebanon, but I went to a lot of Reds games. We didn't have a whole lot of money, so I couldn't go to all of them, but the ones I could go, I definitely went to. And coming to Riverfront Stadium, watching all the greats like Barry Larkin and all those guys was awesome. I mean, it was my dream to play for the Reds one day, and I remember numerous birthday cakes that I, you know, blew the candles out and dreamt of playing for the Reds one day, and now that it's come true is amazing. But a lot of sacrifices were involved. My parents both quit their jobs to move down to Florida. My mom had some health stuff to where the air and you know, all that pollen and stuff, it was better for her to be in Florida. But another main part was for baseball. My dad asked me when I was 9 years old, how serious are you at baseball? And I said, I love baseball. I mean, I'm nine, you know, like, what am I supposed to say? And he's like, okay, well, move down to Florida so you can really embrace it and play every day and really learn how to play the game. And that's exactly what we did. So, I mean, there was a lot of things involved to get me to this point. And, you know, a lot of that was my parents' sacrifice to get us down to Florida so I could play every day.
I know Jesus Christ is important in your life. Tell us when and how Jesus Christ became a part of your life.
Well, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And for me, I really couldn't connect some of the dots, like just the story of Jesus's life when he was on earth. I always struggled with really connecting all those dots from when he was born to when he died and then when he, you know, rose again. And I always said I believed in God and stuff like that growing up, and went to baseball chapel earlier in my minor league career. And but there was just like an emptiness there, and I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know Jesus, and it's hard to know somebody and have a relationship with somebody that when you don't know their full background and their story of their life. And there was a teammate of mine, Jeff Bianchi, who was always there to kind of plant those seeds and ask me those questions, like, you know, how do you get to heaven, and, you know, all these things to kind of feel me out. And he asked me if I would like to go to PAO, which is a conference every off season. They have it for baseball, and they have it for other sports too. And he was like, I'll sponsor you to go. And I think it was like $5,000, and he wasn't a contract guy in the big leagues. I mean, he might have 2 years in the big league, so for him to spend that kind of money was just amazing. And I was trying to find every reason to get out of it, and just the stars lined up, and every little thing I could complain about or make up ended up, you know, they figured it out and got me to go. And it was a life-changing experience. I ended up getting baptized, which I never thought I'd get baptized, because I was baptized when I was a week old. Sure. And, you know, and now knowing that was, you know, me really getting baptized for the first time, in my opinion, you know, asking God to you know, take over my life and come into my life was, you know, huge. And after that, it was an amazing journey. You know, I was like, oh, well, I know God's real for sure. I saw some things I needed to see and hear. And I was like, I'm good. So I know Jesus died for my sins. I'm good to go. And, you know, I really wasn't. You know, it was tough after that, because I wasn't staying in the Word, and I was like, no, I'm good to go. Like, I'm going to heaven. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And I learned from that real quick that I needed to stay in the Word, and then I needed to continue to grow my faith and my relationship with Jesus. And since then, I've been just so fortunate to be surrounded by amazing people. Coos with the Brewers, the bullpen catcher, Marcus Hanel. He's been a big one for me when I was with the Brewers. Johnny and Aaron, Johnny and Jerry and Aaron, both when I was over there with the Brewers, helped me out a lot. Darnell Coles, the hitting coach over there. And then coming over to the Reds, Michael Lorenzen, you know, just being surrounded by those kind of people, like-minded people in a game where there's just not too many of those people around, is huge. And I'm extremely fortunate to have those people to be around every day and to keep me accountable, and you know, and likewise on the other side, I need to keep them accountable too. And you know, that's been huge. So just the journey from 2013 getting baptized to now is amazing. Me and my wife Kelsey, we continually work on our faith and try to you know, just do more and more each day. And now that I have a great understanding of Jesus's life, it's very easy for me to, you know, talk to other people that maybe were kind of like me, you know, before I got baptized, and searching and not really understanding the whole thing, and just trying to help them out in any way that I can.
I know you got a game tonight. I appreciate your taking time out. It's a busy time. People want to talk to you. Tell me one thing. Tell me, do you have a favorite verse that you'd like to leave us with?
Oh man, I got quite a few. I would say my first tattoo, maybe my only tattoo, I got actually the day that I was picked up by the Reds, which is weird because I had it scheduled for a month, and it's 2 Timothy 1:7, and that's God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And I think that's huge. It for me to see that every day, which is great because it's on my arm. I can always look at it and always have it with me. It's huge for me and a lot of people like me that are surrounded by a lot of, bad things. Jesus isn't a real popular topic in, clubhouses and around America and around the world. It's finding those people that are like-minded and, sharing with them and learning from them. So having that on my arm every day is a great reminder to just keep my eyes on him and my heart on him.
Scooter, thanks for being with us. Thanks for spending time with us. We'll certainly take care of that verse and be praying for you as you go along to continually be a strong witness in the role that you're in. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Scooter Jeanette, second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed that interview that we had with Scooter, and hope I get a chance to see him again. Every time I would walk into the Reds dugout and talk to somebody, he always remembered the interview, and he always said thanks. A lot of times when these guys are interviewed in the clubhouse, it's can be kind of negative. The journalists want to point out a flaw that you might have, or they want to ask you about something controversial, because for the most part in the media, they think that's what makes news. But we try to stay positive and try to give you the positive side of what's going on, even in this virus. As I think about it, there's been a lot of positive things happen. There seems to be a lot more kindness. There seems to be a lot more people who are talking to each other, a lot more people who can still, even in this age of technology, can, of course, still use cell phones and Skype. And there's something out there now called Zoom, which I don't know a lot about. And of course, also broadcasts like what we have, where you can stay self-quarantined or take a walk or do whatever you're doing and still have a chance to be inspired. Because you know what? God is still in control. God hasn't missed his mark on this. God hasn't been surprised by anything that's happened. And we really, truly believe, even though a lot of the world is frustrated and confused and hurt, angry, fearful, we believe that God is still in control. And in fact, one of the verses that I want to leave with you today comes from the book of Romans, Romans 8:28, and it says, "All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." All things work together for the good. That's hard to believe by some people, but as Christians, we believe that God is in control, and we're going to look back on this someday, hopefully soon, and see how God has worked. Hey, we hope that you'll check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We've got up a lot of past interviews from that. If you're really kind of bored and kind of tired of listening to the news or kind of tired of watching old movies, you can click us on at facetofaceradio.com and just hear some of the interviews that we've had and be inspired. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.